Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Welcome back to the Wolverine Podcast. I'm John Borton, and boy, do we have a fun one for you tonight. Obviously, we were talking about this just before we went on the air. It's a huge week in Michigan football, the week after Ohio State and the second straight win over the Buckeyes, the week before the Big Ten championship game, and I am going to talk about all of that with a couple of guys that are incredible veterans of Michigan football, know it backward and forward. You know, a regular, Tom Crawford, who I thought just might engage in some fisticuffs on press pass on Sunday night with Rico Beard. Nah. They were getting a little fired up, but you know, Tom, he gets fired up. And this other gentleman, you know, needs zero introduction because he's been around Michigan football forever as a player, as a broadcaster, as a host of Michigan football's coaches show for the longest time, Jim Brandstatter. Great to have both you guys with us.
Well, it's great for me to be with you, John, and of course, Tom Crawford. Tom is one of my favorite people, one of the most courageous people, and that he is a Michigan man in the middle of the enemy territory in East Lansing and Lansing area. And believe me, if we wanted somebody on that wall, Crawford's the guy we need on that wall.
Hey, John, so I go out to my mailbox about an hour ago, and I pull out from the Lambda chapter of Beta Theta Pi at the University of Michigan an article about Jim Brandstatter, a voice of Michigan football, brotherhood, and sports broadcasting. Jim and I were in the same frat, if you will. Jim, a few years ahead of me when football players were allowed to join a fraternity until Bo put the snuff on that, though, right, Jimmy, after he came in? How it worked out?
Yeah, pretty much. He wanted, although we did live off campus my senior year, but he wanted to know where you were. He wanted West Quad and South Quad.
Yes.
So he could send his assistant coaches up there, make sure that you were out of bed and going to your 8 o'clock astronomy class.
Oh, yes. There you go. Yeah.
Wow. Beautiful. Well, speaking of the stars, we had plenty of them in the galaxy down in Columbus on Saturday. I mean, that game was just amazing. It, to me, I've been going down there. You know, I'm not as veteran as you guys in terms of Michigan, Ohio State. Well, I've been watching it probably just about as long, but I've been going down there since 1992. And this, I've seen three wins, believe it or not, in that time. And this, I have to say, was the best in overall performance, given what they were up against, everything else since over those years. My question to you, Jim, is you go so far back in this rivalry. Give us an idea, some perspective. Where does this win and the way it came about rank in the galaxy of times that Michigan has gone down to Columbus and gotten the job done?
I can think of four games in Columbus. Well, four games in Michigan Ohio State rivalry. 69, obviously, when I played in it, and Ohio State was – considered the best college football team ever assembled.
Sure.
And they came into Ann Arbor and we beat them. And then Lloyd Carr beat an undefeated number one ranked team in Columbus. But Ty Streets scored a long touchdown on Brian Greasy's pass. Michigan was way heavy underdog in that one. I'm not sure that year, 94, 95, something.
96.
Yeah.
And then last year and this year, those four games. And again, two of those are in Columbus, which kind of puts an asterisk by them. But last year and this year, I think are the four of the last, call them 40, 45, 50 years. Those four games, I think you can put an asterisk by all of them. They were special. And again, I don't know why. Maybe it's because of the environment and what surrounded the game in all of the press and the talk leading into it. Oh, but sure. Clearly, this game this past weekend, John and Tom, to me, it epitomized what Michigan football is all about. It's about team. I mean, this group, not just the players, but the coaching staff. Jim Harbaugh is the head coach. All of those guys, I mean, every one of them had a moment in that game. I mean, obviously the stars were Donovan and JJ and some of the others. But the reality of life is this was such a team. That's why I'm so proud of these guys. I'm bursting because it's about the team. It's about these 90 guys that banded together and just said, no, you're not going to beat us. We are going to do what we do, and we are going to impose our will physically, and we're going to be the better team in your own backyard. And good luck, but that's the way it's going to be. This was a special game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Jim Harbaugh, at his very best with the media on Monday, did an excellent job of detailing some of the unsung heroes and guys that, you know, that stepped up in that game. Tom Crawford, how about you? Where does this rank in your history of Michigan Ohio State games, especially the ones down in Columbus?
Yeah, well, I was at State Stadium in Maine in Jim's sophomore year, 24-12. I mean, that's almost in a, you know, the Minnesota Vikings were projected to lose to Ohio State that year. Oh, Jim remembers right. that. I mean, it was that kind of a Titanic team. That was kind of by itself because it was such a huge upset. But I'll tell you what, that 96 game, which I was at, and the Ty Streets touchdown, so similar, north going south, touched a big play in the game to turn the game. Actually, the CJ's second one I thought was as big as the first one. That's right up there. And then I want to go back to 22-0 in 1976 because Michigan had a hard time beating Bo had a hard time beating Woody for three or four times in a row, and finally it was 0-0 at halftime, and Michigan did not complete a pass in the entire game, and so they did it Bo's way. They beat Ohio State 22-0, and Russell Davis had a big game. Ricky Leach and Harlan Huckabee, Rob Lytle actually has scored the final touchdown. The late Rob Lytle, that was a special, special win.
I remember that one so well. I mean, that was I was in high school at the time, and that was just made such an impression. The way they pulled that off, I remember the 2-point conversion. I remember so much about that game. The thing that got me about this one. And I look at it and I think, had you told me before this game, okay, you're not going to get what you usually get out of Blake Corum. He's just not going to be able to go. You're going to rush for 10 yards in the first half. You're going to have Donovan Edwards after several games out of the lineup playing in a cast, and you're going to complete 12 passes on the day. And the other guy, CJ Stroud, is going to throw for well over 300 yards. You ask me, do they win this game before the game? I said, I don't see it. How about you, Jim?
That's why I call it the great team win. I mean, you look at those stats and you're right. If after the game, but you also look at the fact that, you know, at halftime, all those numbers, Tom gave the numbers too. They 10 yards rushing. Well, there was no panic. You didn't sense that Michigan was never out of control of this game. JJ was struggling a little bit early, but there was never a thought from anyone in there, at least on my side of what I could perceive watching the game on television, that there was any panic or any thought that this game wasn't ours to be had. And in the second half, they just imposed their will. And I agree with you that the numbers – don't look good when you look at them, but when you really look at what they did defensively, they pushed C.J. Stroud off his spot. He isn't nearly as good a thrower as when he made one miraculous throw to Harrison for a touchdown. That was Stroud and Harrison at their best. But everything else, the Michigan defense took them out of their game on third down. They didn't get many third down plays. They didn't let them hurt them on special teams. And Ohio State was the team that self-destructed and was not poised, and they had the penalties late in the game. They unraveled in the second half. For a home team, that's not supposed to happen. That's supposed to happen to the road team. So when you look at the stats, But then you put that other, the intangibles, into the Michigan performance. That to me spells victory. And God bless them all. I mean, like I said, Jim was great. That was a team win. And you can talk about it, but Mikey Sainristal, the play he made in the end zone was just unbelievable as a defender.
But, play the game.
But remember this. Last year at home, he caught a diving pass that set Michigan up for a score to help them get up on top. Here he is a year later playing defense and making maybe the play of the game defensively.
Yeah.
That tells you that speaks volumes about this team and these kids and their commitment to Michigan and getting better and winning football games.
No doubt about it. Those will definitely go into the video files of one Mikey Sainristal. Tom, your take.
Well, you know, when we had Jimmy Morris on last week, I mean, you asked me what was the keys of the game, and we all went through the normal stuff about O-line play and D-line play, but I went back to the downhill running ability of J.J. McCarthy. You know, he, to me, as a Michigan football historian, he's got a little Bob Timberlake in him. He's got a little Dennis Franklin in him, Denard Robinson Jr., Drew Henson. But he is so tough. And I'll tell you what, in the red zone on that north end zone on that keeper and throwing his shoulder into that safety, that told me that this dude is special. He is going to be in New York next year for the Heisman vote for the announcement. I can assure you, this guy's a special guy. This is where I got in this argument with Rico the other night, John. That's why it all stems back to that McNamara nonsense. Okay, but I just thought he was brilliant in this game. And then one other thing. Donovan Edwards, okay, he's got a cast. He can't even stiff arm he's carrying with his left hand, and he can't even stiff arm with his right. He's got a cast on it. And I swear to God, I thought I saw Tony Bowles out there. But he runs upright like Tony Bowles, who, in my opinion, had not gotten hurt. He would have been one of the greatest running backs in Michigan football history. He looked like a horse, like a racehorse going down that. What a beautiful sight that is. Those two things stick out in my mind.
I agree with that, Tom. And one other thing about J.J., everybody before the game, and I'm sure you said this, Michigan's got to throw the ball downfield. J.J.'s got to be that guy. J.J.'s got to hit some passes. Da-da-da-da-da-da. We heard all that. Okay, first half it doesn't happen, except for the big pass to C.J. twice. But he answered those questions. Yeah. Can he throw the ball? He can throw the ball. The one he dropped into Colston Loveland.
That was in a trash can.
What a dime that was. Huh? And Ohio State didn't adjust well, but J.J. answered the bell. To your point, Tom, it wasn't just the running and his ability to make the decisions and beat you with his feet, but he answered the question that everybody in the country was asking. Michigan, I don't know whether they can throw the ball downfield. Yep, I don't think they've got that. I don't think J.J.'s got that. Wrong.
What a performance by J.J. McCarthy. What an answer, as you were saying, Jim. And those two passes look to have some of the most touch I've seen out of J.J. McCarthy. The second one to C.J., the one to Colston Loveland, put a little more air under it, floated it down there just perfectly. And that showed that was something that you were looking for. And, man, if he didn't do it at the very biggest moment. And I was talking to Doug Karsh, the successor to the great Jim Brandstetter behind the mic at Michigan, just yesterday. And he said, I thought the toughest pass that he made was the very first touchdown pass to CJ, because two guys break free on the blitz, come flying there. He threw to a spot to just get rid of it. And then, Cornelius Johnson makes the unbelievable play to catch it, shed a tackler, and then another one really as he was moving down the sideline to break away. So just an amazing performance by J.J.
And on that play, go to the tape if you can on the C.J. touchdown where he breaks the tackle. And Doug's right. J.J. was staring down two guys right in his grill, and he got to a spot. C.J. made the catch. But if you look at that play, watch the slot on the right, Roman Wilson. He is running down the middle of the field, absolutely wide open. There is not an Ohio State within 20 yards of him. If J.J. would have seen that, he could have thrown a lollipop up right down the middle of the hashes, and Roman could have waited like a punt, caught it, and run into the end zone. Ohio State defensively lost both of those guys on one play. CJ made him pay, but Roman could have scored too.
But that cover zero and multiple blitzes up the middle. Cover zero, I mean, that is a dicey defense that Jim Knowles threw him. Jim, weren't you surprised that Ohio State went that route virtually the entire game, including on run plays in the second half with Donovan Edwards?
Absolutely. And I remember I learned a lesson from Schembechler years and years ago. He used to tell me, he says, don't ever run goal line, which is basically cover zero, out in the middle of the field. Because if you do, you're going to give them an opportunity to go the distance if they break the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And twice Michigan broke the line of scrimmage. Twice Ohio State paid. And again, I think a poor choice. You've got to have a safety back somewhere to stop that big play. And Ohio State chose not to do it. And Michigan chose to go ahead and exploit it.
And the guy that took advantage twice for 75 yards and 85 yards was Donovan Edwards, who we didn't know how much he could do in this game before we actually saw him go out there. He has the cast on the right hand. There's always a concern about how tightly can you grip the ball? How can you cover it up? And yet here was Donovan Edwards as a sophomore breaking into a different stratosphere. You know, Jim Harbaugh on Monday went down an entire litany of guys that could have been this way but weren't, could have had an attitude but didn't. And he said of Donovan Edwards, he could have taken a knee and not been in that game. Instead, he plays and becomes a legend. And I think that he's right. If you do it in Columbus in that game, I'm still talking to Jamie Morris about 86. So, you know, yeah,
that's a good one.
He'll be remembered in that same way.
There's no question. It's the old story. The big game, the big stage, and how do you perform? Well, JJ and Donovan certainly performed extremely well. And I'd like to throw in Oluwatimi at the center position.
Oh, my
word. I'd
like
to throw in Zach Zinner. I'd like to throw in all those guys, Barnhart, everybody. Hayes, I mean, they were just – Keegan. Those guys in the second half just controlled the football game. And defensively up front, we did the same thing. I mean, their offense, they get 3 points in the second half. It's a beautiful day. They got nothing to blame, you know. I mean, it's a gorgeous day to play.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, don't blame the snow today. That day, you're at home. You've got all of your guys there, and Michigan's defense just on every turn had an answer. And again, goes back to, you know, unsung guy. How about Minter, our defensive coordinator?
My word,
Jesse Minter.
I mean, Jesse has been absolutely on top of it. And how about our secondary and Klinkscale, the job he's done with DJ Turner and some of those guys. Rod Moore.
Rod Moore was phenomenal in that game.
He was everywhere in that game. And linebackers could absolutely fly sideline to sideline. I got to go back to a little bit of how you learn where you have to be to compete at the national level. When Michigan played Georgia, they saw what Georgia could do.
Yeah.
And Jim Harbaugh came back and said, you know what? We need to be like them. We need exactly. to have that. No, we need to have our guys have the ability to, my 230-pound linebacker, go outrun their running back to the sideline and stop him for a gain of one instead of a gain of five. And you saw a play go wide on third down where we had Junior Colson outrunning to the sideline. That's something that, when you want to get to the top, and this is what I think Jim has done, when you want to get to the top of the mountain, who's up there now? Find out what they're doing, and we're going to do the same thing. And I think he's done that with this team. He's modeled them and gotten them to the point where they can compete physically with some of those guys that are at the top of the mountain now.
He has also overseen the greatest position switch since Steve Hutchinson went from defensive line to offensive line in 1996 with Mikey Sainristil going from offense to defense and single-handedly stopping two Ohio State touchdowns in the end zone, flicking the ball away. Tom, your thoughts on what Michael did?
He's a phenomenal young man. I mean, he's so humble as well. But, you know, this defense reminds me, not to go back to the old days of Jim Brandstetter in the 69. But I'm telling you what, you remember those Michigan defenses where everybody met at the football?
Oh, absolutely.
And this team was not like that a few years ago. It was more open field, one guy. But Michigan swarms quite a bit on this defense. And I've noted that they are a really good open field tackle team. Michael Barrett he had some great hits in this game. And I've been looking at linebacker as, you know, and Junior Colson's been kind of hot and cold here and there at earlier parts of the year, in the middle part of the year. But that second level has stepped up for Michigan. So this is a really good tackling team. You got a good tackling team, then you don't have chunk plays evolve out of plays that should be going 6 yards instead of they're end up going 26 or 36 yards. So that's a real standout element to me when I look at this defense.
I couldn't agree more. And one other quick point, and I'll get away, but remember who they lost. They lost Aiden Hutchinson. Yeah. They lost
Jax Hill.
Yeah. They lost Jax Hill. And they did not play with Nikhyle Green this year.
Exactly.
So let's give Mitter some credit of plugging in these athletes in these spots, and these athletes stepped up big time. And I'm just amazed at the job they've done.
And Will Johnson is earning that number two jersey, right now, don't you think?
glad you brought that up. Will, yeah. he and even Woodson said it, I think, on one of the pregame shows or green. He says he's wearing number two for a reason, and he's doing a pretty good job. And when Woodson says that, Will Johnson better have that tape somewhere.
Exactly.
No doubt about it. And it wasn't like Ohio State didn't gain any yardage in this game. I mean, like I said, Stroud threw for a lot of yards and put Michigan in some pressure situations. And yet this defense was so opportunistic and so refusing to cave, refusing to give up the touchdowns. You know, a couple early, but then in that second half, you had Sainril still coming through. You had the pressure. You had the tip-aways by Braden McGregor. Taylor Upshaw with a kind of forced shovel pass pick. I mean, it was just that refusal to cave in and give up those touchdowns in the second half.
And it's no secret, and it's no surprise, that the two interceptions came when C.J. Stroud was pressured and moving around in the pocket.
Yes.
That was pressure. Now, he didn't get a lot of pressure as the game went along. He got most of his sack. I think it was only one sack. But he got pressure, and he moved. He was off his spot. And two of those instances, he threw picks. And that is just because of the defense and their relentless, you know, pursuit. Even though they don't get home, they force that quarterback to look out the corner of his eye. Who's that coming? And we played without Mike Morris for the most part.
Yeah.
So add that to the mix of how well this defense played and how good this team was from 1 to 32 on the roster chart. Really, really good game.
I was down in the press box in Columbus, and they tell you right at the start of the game, there is no cheering in the press box. They say it very in the sonorous voice and very serious. And, you know, that is, I think, observed a lot of times. But in some places, it may get ignored a little bit more than others. And I was within close proximity to a couple of locals who were pretty giddy in the early going in that. And then but as things went on, it was like it wasn't just them. It was in that stadium. There was a shock that began to set in. They thought it was all going to go their way. They prepared for a year for this. They'd heard about the loss to Michigan. Well, wait till they come down to Columbus. And your thoughts about as you saw that, Jim, about just a shock coming over that stadium.
Well, the thing that got me, and Tom talked about it too, but what caused the shock more than anything was the fact that they sat there and said, we have no excuses. This, we're getting our butts whacked, and we can't complain. We have, it's not the referees. We got a bitter pill to swallow here because the other guys are better. And that more than anything I think is the worst thing an Ohio State fan can possibly stomach is to sit there and say, Michigan's better. Well, guess what, Buckeye Nation? We're better. And we proved it 2 years in a row. That, I think, is why there's that shock. Because they've always, you know, hey, we had bad weather. We had this. Our guys were hurt. This was that. Referees made a bad call. No. And I think that's where the shock factor came in, John. They have no excuses. Yeah, they just got their butts whacked.
Yep. Tom, your thoughts as you saw it get to that point.
Well, I think what happened is that this fan base is and it's cult like down there. Let's just be real. I mean, when you go to St. John's Arena before a Michigan Ohio State game, they have this pep rally, okay? And all the Buckeye band is in there. They do Buckeye battle cry across the field. It's all scarlet and gray. So Brian Hartline, their wide receivers coach, is in there speaking to the crowd, you know, and he's basically telling the fan base, we need you to be violent. You need to be violent. I mean,
use that word.
He used that word violent, you know. So, I mean, that's how jacked up. And I thought that was inappropriate, to be quite honest with you. But that's kind of the way it is down there. But I think that the expectation was this was their birthright to win this game. And Michigan was not going to beat Ohio State 2 years in a row. This was an aberration. We got them in the shoe where they get intimidated. We got 95% of the fan base here or at the stadium. Not much maize and blue there, unlike what it is in Ann Arbor in reverse. And I think there was shock. I think there was first anxiety in the third quarter, kind of that nervous quietness, like what's going on here. And then we saw the faces. I mean, they were overwhelmed, and it was a wonderful, wonderful sight to see.
And by the way, Tom, you're right. It was wonderful. And again, they had no excuse. I mean, it was like you had to sit there and take it.
Yeah.
It's like that scene from Caddyshack. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Well, they did, and they have a chance to have a third next year in Michigan Stadium. That all rolls into this question, and Tom, I'll start with you on this one. How would you describe at this point the state of this rivalry? Because it has changed a lot in the last 2 years.
Well, when you look at the national narrative, when you've got people it is shocking, the Paul Feinbaums of the world, people, Harbaugh haters and such saying, wow, this thing is, the script has been flipped, that this is Michigan's conference. This is the Big Ten championship goes through Ann Arbor. I think when Michigan did it 2 years in a row, it's completely switched everything. And I think moving forward, when you look at the Michigan roster, and then you look at Jim Harbaugh, today gets named Big Ten Coach of the Year. Mike Morris gets Defensive Lineman of the Year. I mean, all the awards are coming Michigan's way. Recruiting is going to ratchet up. I commend Jim Harbaugh because I think he changed his ways. I think he made some great hires. And I think he changed his approach in the locker room and the culture. And from what happened between 2017 and 2020, and now 21 and 22, he's knocking it out of the park. And he deserves Coach of the Year. And this is Michigan's conference right now, and I don't think Jim Brandstetter is going to argue with me on that at all.
I don't think so.
No, it's Michigan's conference without question, and Jim Harbaugh's the biggest bully on the block right now.
Yeah.
And again, I think you're right. I think he's changed a bit in the sense that, and again, I think he's learned the one thing about Jim in all the years that he's been here. He has been tweaking. You know, yes. I want to do this. I want to do that. Yes. I want to try this. I want to try it. He's not afraid to pull the trigger on the Don Brown thing.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, there were things he did that, you know, I got to get this better. I got to do this. And I give him all the credit in the world. That's not easy to do.
No.
And he's done it, and he's created this culture here. And those kids love him. You know, people out there call him quirky and we've seen him do some things in press man. I thought it was hilarious at the end of the game that Jim walks over to Tom Rinaldi from Fox, right?
Yeah.
And Jim immediately brings over JJ. And then he runs off.
I know. He's like Dave Abeloff. He's taking over the Sports Information Department directorship.
That was so perfectly Jim Harbaugh.
He's deflecting. Exactly.
He says, give it to the kids. I don't want any part of it. And he let Rinaldi interview the kids. But he's changed the culture there, and the kids love him. There was a great shot on Inside Michigan Football The kids carried him in the locker room and had him on his shoulders.
Yeah.
And that shows you the kind of respect. And I think, and again, I'm going to go back and say this. This is from a guy that in January supposedly was going to go to the Minnesota Vikings, and everybody in the world was wringing their hands and saying, oh my God, how can these kids possibly play for this guy? Well, kids are resilient, and kids know the game.
Yeah.
They're in there going to the NFL after their junior year. They understand it. People sell these young men short. Yeah. They are really smart.
Yeah, they're very
smart. Aware. They are, worldly aware of what coaches go through, what's on their plate. And yet Jim took the, meeting at Minnesota, whatever, came back, said, that's it, signed a contract. And now he's the talk of the football world. And who said that was going to happen in January a year ago?
You know, Jim, I want to chime in on one more thing about, giving praise to other people beyond himself.
There's that picture of being carried out in the locker room.
Right, is the fact that he had all 10 of his position coach. He called out all of his assistant coaches in that locker room and had all those players acknowledge the efforts of those coaches. Beyond the position coaches, I think the entire staff, for that matter. But the clips that I've saw, I mean, that's what you want. That's true leadership. And delegate, allocating all the praise to others beyond yourself. And that's why he's at the sweet spot right now.
Exactly. And I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm glad you said it, because he even called out Herbert. Their strength.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
At length.
It goes right back to my point earlier. I don't want to pat myself on the back here, but it's about the team.
Yeah.
Shen Beckler said it way many years ago. But when you create that attitude where we're all in it together, Ben Herbert's in it with all the assistants, with the last guy on the team to the biggest star of the group. If you're all in it together, you will all win and you will all benefit. And Jim has done that. And I think it's a beautiful thing to see. And I think that I'm more proud of that as much as I am of the win and the championship of the East. We're still not done. We got to win the Big Ten. We got to go on and see what we're doing in the playoffs. But I'm just so proud of this team and how they conduct themselves and how they play. That to me is that's Michigan, and I'll put my hat behind them every time.
Shen Beckler also said, "Those who stay will be champions." Jim Harbaugh and this group have a chance to be back-to-back Big Ten champions in just a few days. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but before we do, I want to just set a little stage here. You've got the guys that we've been talking about, J.J. McCarthy and Donovan Edwards and Mikey Sainristil and Zach Zinter. And we haven't mentioned Jake Moody, but he is certainly up there and has been all year. These guys are going to be talked about 20, 30 years down the road. The memories of these last two Ohio State games and of the last year's Big Ten championship and whatever will happen. And one of the things that happens around Michigan football is these things get preserved in very special ways. There'll be books written. There'll be all kinds of memories that come out of this. They'll have reunions. And one of the things that is really special is that I know Jim Brandstatter, you've gotten to talk with so many players over the years and have great, your writings and the things that you've recorded. You are coming out with an audio book, and I have listened to a little excerpt from it from the colorful Kip Taylor to Forrest Evashevsky talking about Tom Harmon and Dennis Franklin. I was so struck by him talking about what Bo told him in terms of, okay, you are going to be a quarterback for Michigan now, and this is going to be very different. It's something that hasn't happened before. It brought back so many memories, and I know it's going to for people that want to get this. Tell us about this project.
I've done so many interviews over the years. I did Bo, obviously, when he started. I started Michigan Replay in 1980, so I did the show for 43 years. But along the way, I had done interviews with older players, with some of the great ones, Forrest Evashevsky. And I saved these interviews. They were on tapes. They were on mini discs. And here I am retiring, and I thought, what am I going to do with all that material? Because it should be utilized in some way. And I thought, I may use them on Facebook, and I'll do little vignettes with these. Well, I went out in my garage, and they're 20 years, 25 years old, and I found them, and I put them on digitized them, and I started doing that. I said, this could be a book. I have the first guy that scored the first touchdown at Michigan Stadium, Kip Taylor, on tape. He was telling me about running down the field with Benny Ousterbaum. I don't know anybody out there in any other football program that has that. And I thought, this is Michigan gold. So I've got to utilize it. So I grabbed all the old stuff I have from Forrest Evashevsky, Bob Chappius, Howard Weichel, all the way up to Desmond Howard and Ron Simpkins, Kurt Greer, Ron Johnson, and some of those great moments at Michigan Stadium. And I did the interviews, and I found them. I got some new ones. I found a couple of Bo pregame talks that actually Cam Cameron taped in Bo's final year. And I was able to get those and put those in there. So the beauty of it is, and what you talked about, John, is to hear Dennis Franklin in his own voice say what Bo sat him down and told him. Or listening to Bo talk about how bitter he was on the 10-10 tie. You can hear it in their voice. When you read it in the written word, it's okay. But when you hear the emotion and the passion, it jumps out the page at you. It just jumps. So I made this audiobook called Voices of Michigan Stadium, and I'm really glad I did. I never thought I'd get into be a historian, when I went to school, I wanted to be a broadcaster.
Yeah.
Now I've become this kind of history guy. But, I thought about that, and I said, if it takes me, if that's where Michigan takes me, that I am going to preserve Kip Taylor, Tom Harmon, Forrest Evashevsky, and Bob Chappius, Al Wistert. If that's what it takes, then I'm up for it. I'll be glad to do it. Because we need to remember those guys. We need to hear them because they're the foundation of Michigan football and the Michigan football tradition. Yeah. And we have the opportunity within this book to listen to them tell their stories. They are the building blocks that we all stand on today, that this 2022 Big Ten champion team, hopefully, if they win, they're the foundation that this team stands on. And I'm the guy that's lucky enough to have material so that we can hear them. And when we're done with this, I'm going to send the stuff over to Bentley Museum, and I'm going to have Greg Kinney take care of it and maybe put it in some kind of interactive display. But I'm delighted with how it came out, and I urge all Michigan fans just to hear the history of it, to take a listen.
Oh, I can vouch for it just in the sample I have heard. Yeah. Voices of Michigan Stadium. Tell folks how they can get a hold of it, Jim.
Thank you, John. You're doing my job for me. I'm not very good at this sales stuff. You can go to jimbrandstatter.com, and there's a link right there that you can click to get it, or go to amazon.com, and you can click on the link to get the audiobook. There's also a paperback book that you can buy if you want. I think the better version is the audio.
You got to go audio. I'll tell you right now.
I agree with you. They make the audio book a little tougher to buy, but there is a little button down at the bottom right that says you could buy with one click without joining Audible. But if you want to join Audible, you can. But go to the audio, get it. It's jimbrandstatter.com or Amazon. There it is. There's the front page of the website.
You bet. There we go.
You can get the book. And I'm telling you what, if you got that deal where you plug your car into your phone, you listen to that driving down the road, 5.5 hours, you will not imagine how fast the miles go by.
I'm putting that in the car when I go down to Indy on Saturday afternoon.
You'll love it.
I also think about this, Jim. I mean, timing's everything in life. You got a 12-0 team ready to go 13-0. I mean, it's Christmas around the corner. Is this like the perfect before the playoff? Christmas tree? Come on. You can't make this stuff up.
For the Michigan fan in your home.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I could be like that guy selling pillows from Giza. You know? I never knew that this started a year and a half ago. I mean, when I'm retired, I'm last January. I don't know what's going to happen, how long it's going to be. Well, I got it done in April, and we worked through the process of getting it published. Da, 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 and all of a sudden, they said, yeah, we'll be ready to go in October, November. Well, then Michigan's winning all the games, and oh, golly, it just happens to be the holidays. So, you know, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Yeah, go buy a lotto ticket, Jim, right now after this.
I got two of them just now.
Speaking of driving down to Indy and of Big Ten championships, we got to talk about that one before we're late in the fourth quarter here. And so I would just say, first to Jim, your thoughts about Purdue, about this matchup. I know anything can happen, but I also know that in the history of the Big Ten since it's gone east and west, there hasn't been a time that the West has taken down the East. Is this one more example of an elite team coming out of the East and taking on a team that survived the West?
Well, I mean, clearly on paper, that's what it says. And I'll be real quick about this. Michigan, if they play their game, will win. But don't count anybody out. I mean, you look at South Carolina beats Clemson. You look at some of these. I mean, Texas A&M knocks off LSU, and LSU had everything going for it.
Yeah.
So this stuff can happen, okay? But here's the key, and I'm going to be very quick and let Tom go. They must rush the passer. They got to get after that Purdue quarterback. Yes. They get him off his mark. He's going to throw some. He's going to throw some mistakes. The other guy they got to stop is that Charlie Jones, the wide receiver.
Yeah,
he's the guy that came in from Iowa.
Right. He's
a big time player. You take those two things out offensively, I think they struggle. Offensively, Michigan, I think we got a great chance because I don't know where Blake would probably be there, but with the confidence offensively we're playing with after last week, I think we'll score. But we got to keep them from scoring. And those two players, their quarterback, get him off his spot, and that receiver Jones, make sure he doesn't beat you. It's the old Bill Belichick method. Don't let their best player beat you. Figure out how to stop him. Those two things, I think Michigan can prevail.
There you go. Tom, your thoughts about the big one.
Mike Morse was just talking on Big Ten Live today about that they want – this is a lick of the chops pass rushing opportunity because it's a pro-style offense for Purdue. But Purdue is the spoiler makers, and we can go chapter and verse in decades past what they've done in upsets, and Michigan's has been a victim of that. Bottom line, don't turn the ball over. Don't turn the ball. And I'm thinking that Purdue, you know, defensively, probably when they look at Donovan Edwards as a threat, they're going to try to strip the ball from him because he's a vulnerable target in that regard. I mean, he can't really cradle it that well. So, I mean, if they don't turn the ball over and do pass rushing like Jim was talking about, I think they're going to be in pretty good shape.
And don't forget, this Purdue team beat an Ohio State team that was ranked number one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
2 years ago. They're capable. Yep. And they've got some athletes. So don't for a minute take them lightly.
Don't take them lightly. I don't think this is the type of Michigan team that ever does that. They've been so focused all year. If the unthinkable happened, most people still believe that Michigan would be in the playoffs. Certainly Michigan is not going to depend on that contingency. Even though it has the best win in college football this year, that would be at Ohio State. And they want to maintain at least that number two spot in the college football rankings. But I know it's getting a little ahead of ourselves. If any players are listening, stop, turn your computer off at this point, and you guys talk about your thoughts as far as Michigan's chances in after having gotten a taste last year at having a step up in success this year.
Look, one of the things I saw last year when I was in Miami, we did the game. We were out on the field, John Jansen and I, doing Inside Michigan Football. And we saw, after the game was over and everybody was gone, they were doing fireworks. J.J. McCarthy, Donovan Edwards, they came out in their street clothes and stood there and watched the Hard Rock Stadium field. and watch the post games and all the stuff and the Georgia players walking around. They get it. Yeah. They understand this is where, if we want to be here, we've got to do this. And I think they understand. So while the Michigan players are out there, if you're watching, yeah, beat Purdue. That's your job. You got to do that first. First and foremost, you don't play anybody unless you play Purdue and beat them. Then you can start thinking about it. And I think as you go forward and you start playing this what-if game, I don't really care about the idea that what happens if. No. We're not going to have a loss. Okay? Yep. Yeah. And then it becomes who's three or four.
There you go.
Because I think Georgia, if Georgia wins, they're one. I think we're two. Then you worry about who's three or four, and a lot of that depends upon what happens this weekend in their conference championship games. But there USC would be formidable. But I'm telling you right now, this is just me, football guy for a lot of years. The only two teams in the field from top seven that play defense are Georgia and Michigan.
That's true. That's a good point. You know, I'm gonna quote Jim Brandstetter's head coach at the University of Michigan, Bo Schembechler. It's all about winning Big Ten championships. You got to go win the Big Ten championship. Yep. That's first. That's fundamental. Mm-hmm. I would say that's fundamental. Okay. And so you get that, and then everything else takes care of itself. But you know, I think they're in, and I don't like to think that would, you know, what's going to happen if, but you want that number two seat. Because then you want to, you know, say, you know, Georgia probably win. They'll probably get number one seed. They'll probably get the Peach Bowl as the first choice. That's fine. Let them go from Athens to Atlanta and all that good. Go out to Phoenix and play USC. I mean, I like that matchup. I think Michigan can move the football against USC. And then against Georgia, you know, hey, it's a one game knockout. You know, anything can happen. And they got a little taste of it last year. This is setting up pretty right now, in my opinion.
No doubt about it. And, guys, I'm telling you, we're out of time, but it has been all kinds of fun tonight, and I knew it would be. You guys are great. I appreciate it very much, and just want to say thanks to both of you for joining us tonight.
Hey, thank you, John, and thank you, Tom. Tom's one of my favorite guys.
Yeah.
Whenever we see each other in East Lansing. Yeah. And, John, I've known you a lot of years. I was there when you started the Wolverine, man.
Oh, man. Yeah,
a long time ago.
Yep. Long time ago. So thank you both very much.
All right.
This was a kick for me, too. Thanks.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay. See you in Indy, baby.
Yes, sir.
Go Blue.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to – has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry. We're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.